This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Bryce Harper. Where is he going to sign? The Bryce Harper watch continues. We're going to get the latest from spring training from Jesse Dougherty. Covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. And we'll get beyond Bryce Harper. I saw that Howie Kendrick, who played for the Angels for years, compared Soto to Mike Trout.
Really?
Very complimentary of Juan Soto. Said he sees a lot of similarities in the two.
Well, if he's close to Mike Trout, if he's 50% of Mike Trout, he's going to be a superstar. So we'll see.
What a great year last year.
Just he did.
Finished second in Rookie of the Year.
Yep. Hopefully he continues.
So we'll
hopefully
talk
there's no sophomore slump, Cakesy.
Dougherty coming up in about 20 minutes. Right now, we're going to open up the entertainment page.
All right, boys. Let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Let me entertain you, Cakes.
Hope you do.
JP mentioned he went to the movies. We always like to start off the week with the box office report. Alita, Battle Angel, finished number one at the box office, Cakes. I can't even remember. Did Kevin review it?
He liked it. That's the one with, is it Christian? Waltz is his last name, or Waltz?
Yeah, Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz.
It did $28 million. Somehow, I guess, over extended weekend at $36 million on a budget of $170. So they got some work to get there,
There's
Cakes.
A lot of meat left on that bone. Valdez, we would have given that a solid two thumbs down. Alita, Battle Angel. Budget of $170 million. No, thank you.
Wow.
You spend your money. You say
elsewhere.
That in retrospect, but if they came at you with the pitch that said motion capture and all that stuff, you might have been wild.
No, I think Valdez and I is the yes/no men.
You have said no to Avatar? Which is, to me, this movie reminds me of Avatar.
Would we have said no to Avatar?
I would have said no to Avatar. Wasn't that the most expensive movie ever
shot? Probably
would have
said yes because of James Cameron, the genius behind Avatar. I don't know who's behind Alita Battle Angel.
Think it's a silly.
Hey, can we do a bit where we have a summer preview with Cakes and his company?
I would love to.
And he gives a thumbs up or thumbs down and we go back and track it?
Well, let's not. He's out Valdez.
Well, Valdez.
He's part of the fledgling
I think you
got to
get it before.
Robert Rodriguez is the director behind this.
Yeah, I would have soured on it.
James Cameron. James Cameron, one of the producers.
Okay, well, that might have swayed me a little bit. But the bloated $170 million, it's all bottom line, EB. It's all about the numbers.
Well, now they're saying,
I'm a man of science.
According to IMDb or Google, they're saying the budget is now $200
million. Oh, well, I mean, certainly if it gets to the
but
$200 million.
But they'll make it around the world. They've got James Cameron, Robert Rodriguez, and John Landau all behind it.
I don't know who John Landau is.
Oh, he's a big name.
He is?
Is he related to Walter?
Is that Martin's brother?
Let me see.
It's Walter Martin,
It's Martin Landau.
Oh, you think of Walter Matthau, Ricky.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
You all your people
grumpy
mixed
old
up.
Men.
Yeah.
Well, he only produced Titanic with James Cameron.
All right, they're probably 100 producers of Titanic.
Okay. So anyway, Alita Battle Angel was number one, did $28 million. The Lego Movie. I feel like this hasn't this been out forever? Only 2 weeks? Did $21 million. So far it's made $62 million. Isn't It Romantic? Did $14 million. What Men Want? Did $10 million. And I think what JP saw, Happy Death Day to You, rounds out the top five, did $9 million. And that's right on the $9 million budget.
Well, Kevin said that the director or producer of that movie, his specialty is cheap horror movies that net a good return.
Is it Jason Blum? Is that his name?
I think you're right.
Blumhouse Productions?
Yeah, so he'll be all right.
Yeah, he's doing fine. That guy's doing all right.
Trying to see if The Mule is still out.
No. I don't think so.
Don't see The Mule. And I see I see 35 movies.
And the mule.
Why would the mule still be out?
I don't know. You should kind of like challenge me to see it.
Well, it's
I think they came
available.
Out in September.
I just remember Kevin demand. Saying the trailer was the best part of it. And then I was just like, I'm out.
Right, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll see it at some point when it's like $4.
This is big news today, although this guy has zero impact on any of our lives. Fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld. Is that how you
pronounce
his name?
I think you nailed it.
Has passed away, Cakes, at the age of 85 in Paris.
85's a good run. Solid run.
He designed collections for his own brand and also collaborated with the street brand H&M. Any of your kids go to H&M?
Used to. I don't think so anymore.
Right.
They're in every mall.
He was also known for his association with the French label Chanel.
I think he did bits with Fendi, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, look at you. You know more about Karl Lagerfeld than anybody.
I scanned the story for 5 seconds. I'm sure I know anything about him.
I don't know if this is the same thing, but let me see. They say he began his long career with the fashion house Chanel in 1983, a decade after Coco Chanel died. I believe the one fragrance that I've gotten my wife through the years.
Yes.
That I can identify like this when I walk through anywhere. If I walk through the office here and a woman is wearing it, or I walk through a mall or a food court.
You can pick it out with your olfactory senses are on point.
In 2 seconds, the Coco Chanel Mademoiselle, very, very popular fragrance.
This is weird, and it's not a perfume, but I've said this
on
the air
before. I can identify it immediately.
The smell that always is intoxicating to me. For whatever reason,
French fries,
Auntie Anne's pretzels.
No. Well, those are close seconds. Those are close seconds. They're all in the running.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we've all been there. Whatever they're pumping through the ventilation system at the Borgata, I walk in and I'm like,
"That's just called cigarette smoke."
It's a combination of cigarette smoke and some sort of a perfume.
Cigarette free.
They're very limited where you can smoke cigarettes.
There is some sort of.
There's some
terrible
sort of
smell
air
that
freshener
is intoxicating.
That I walk in there, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm in Nirvana. Like,
do you get that smell at the MGM or no? It's a different scent.
It's a different scent.
Really?
It's weird that whenever
I... Do you get it in Vegas?
No. Tell you, it's Borgata.
It's just the Borgata.
Specific.
Borgata has a signature scent that has a unique scent of jasmine and black cedar.
See? Your boy.
My design to tantalize the senses.
My senses?
Yeah,
tantalized.
You know what? It keeps you awake.
Do you guys have a scent that you recognize, whatever it is? Like, I'm sure it's Valdez, it's crabs.
But Old Bay!
Yeah, I can smell a crab cake a mile away.
Can you smell, honestly, can you sense like a certain fragrance that like, your wife wears or anything like that, or no?
You know what, she doesn't wear that many, like, perfumes.
My
so
wife
no.
doesn't either, because she's actually somewhat allergic to them. But I just make her wear it anyway. When I get sized, I go, put that on. It's a Coco Chanel night.
Right. It's an aphrodisiac for you.
I get sized for that smell.
Yeah.
You don't have one?
No.
Jason, a fragrance that you notice? It doesn't have to be something with your wife, but just something that you could walk
I mean, I
through.
Know the ones I like. I don't know the names of them.
Yeah.
I have no idea of the names of them. My wife doesn't wear perfume.
Right.
She wears lotion.
She wears
Is there some lotions that you...
Some body lotions that are nice.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the
I would buy
again.
A 55-gallon drum of that stuff they pump through the Borgata.
You won't get it and pump it through your house, make your house smell like it.
That's a great idea. Drab T-shirt. Find out if I could purchase that.
Maybe you could get like a filter.
Scent.
Maybe you could get it. That, dude, that's...
Or just like a potpourri. Like,
hold on. This is our Shark
you
Tank.
You have a billion-dollar idea.
This is our Shark Tank All right. idea. We get our own filter. That we could put into our AC venting system, whatever the hell that is. You know,
right.
I don't know, my wife does it. But, you know, you go to Home Depot and you buy a filter.
You make your wife do the filters on
I don't
AC
make her do
unit?
It. She just does it by default because I don't do it. So somebody's got to do it. So, yeah, she exchanges those filters. We got to come out with our own silly scent. So you want one that smells
not
just
a terrible
like
idea.
We will license
it. Act like
there
aren't a million different things that you buy to scent your home.
No, but we'll just do it right into the home system. Like, we'll
see,
get
he's now debunking. This is the way Shark Tank works.
I'm talking about a little thing you plug in. I'm talking about.
I guarantee you those already exist.
Those big old filters that you get at Home Depot?
Yeah.
We're going to get one. We're going to license it with Borgata.
They probably already exist.
Borgata has one like that at Home Depot.
I don't know if it's Borgata. But my wife has brought some home. Now, they're not that big. They're about this big.
And then you put it in your...
She said it didn't work.
Well.
You know what?
Booping.
She got a poop
early beta test. Now we'll advance it past that level.
We could get one that makes your house smell like a new car.
We'll make
I get sized for that.
Put them in your car, too. Oh, if I can make my car smell like the Borgata, I would never leave it. I would never come in here and do this stupid show. I would stay in my car 24/7.
I didn't know you had such a fascination with that spot.
But usually I thought it was ubiquitous to all casinos.
He's saying it's unique.
I don't care about perfumes or that smell. I'm telling you, when you walk in the lobby, it intoxicates me.
It's jasmine and what else?
Something cedar.
Black cedar.
Black cedar.
Black cedar and jasmine. Apparently, that's my sweet spot.
See if just type in, for example, the Aria. See if they have a certain scent that they're pumping through. I guarantee you, we know that movie theaters are pumping their popcorn smell.
You would think, yes.
But they definitely are. But you think I smell it. You smell it in every movie theater.
By the way, not that this is unique or brand new, but the theater which I go to right by my house, they now have the full menu of burgers and everything.
Oh, yeah. The theater I go to, they've got bars over there. I think you could probably go over there and get sushi, you know.
You can't just sell Raisinets and Slurpees anymore. You got to step up your game.
Yeah, you got to step up your game. You got to have a silly recliner. Probably have to have a blanket so you can hook it. And then you got to have your silly,
foofy drink. And don't forget Sour Patch Kids, one of my new faves. So much sugar. So bad for your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Just the worst for your teeth.
Jason, do you consider this?
I'm reading an article. The casinos actually sell their scents.
They do?
Yeah, they sell them.
Where? And then how do you do it? Is it just something you plug into the wall?
I might spend my whole bonus check on it.
Looks like you need a home aroma diffusion machine.
Aroma diffusion chain.
Yeah.
They're like $200, and then you buy the scents separately. And
that sounds a little pricey.
We have some. Do you guys have
one
of these things?
$200.
And then it's supposed to hook up to 2,000 square feet to your house.
Very nice.
We have something that my kids put in, and I guess I have such a bad sense of smell, I never really notice it. We have this thing. We buy these liquid gel things, and it smokes up the house. They're doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's another place where we're lighting money on fire. We're like,
I like those, though.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. These little smoke machines? I don't know what the hell they are.
Are they like misters?
It's like a mister.
What are you having, a Motley Crue concert at your house? Dry ice and smoke everywhere? It sounds silly.
It's some sort of mister, and you buy, I think they're like liquid gels or liquid packets, and it smells up the house, the smoke, for like 8 hours at a time.
Hey, I got to save my dry powder. My dishwasher stopped working yesterday. There's an electrical issue. I don't know. Who knows how much that's going to cost?
Oh, your dishwasher's not working.
We thought it was the dishwasher.
Look at Jason perk up as you're losing money.
We had the GE guy. Yeah, the appliance guy come out to repair it. He said, it's not the dishwasher. It's an electrical issue.
It's your power source?
So now I have to call an electrician.
Okay.
Have that person come out to my
house. So what did the guy charge you to come out to tell you it was?
Actually, he was very nice. Didn't charge us the $99 just to show up. And It was out of warranty by a month, but it wasn't. It had nothing to do with the actual appliance.
Right.
So now it's an electrical issue.
So
I'm sure
he
can fix that.
He gave you a free.
He gave a freebie. What do you do with the warranty stuff though? So it's out of warranty. Do you actually have the sheet from 10 years ago?
No, of course not.
No, but if you
extended warranties, I always think are a scam. So then I was borderline enraged when I found out that the dishwasher was 1 month out of the warranty.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, we're going to have to buy a new dishwasher. After a year, it's a year and 1 month old.
Right.
It should still be working.
Right.
And it is, just the electricity leading to it.
But what do you do if you don't have the paperwork? Because every time you buy something, you're supposed to fill out that stupid thing and send it in.
Nobody does that. Here's what you do. You call the people you bought it from and ask them, when did I buy this?
It's usually on record.
Well, I think also the serial number, I think, would give them a clue.
I think they have
as
records
to when it was, you know, the model. They know the model and stuff. They know generally if it's in warranty.
And I don't know why I did this, but as soon as the dishwasher stopped working, I went to YouTube and said, like,
well, like you could fix it yourself?
Well, I looked at the video, and 20 seconds into the video, there's a guy with a drill taking the outer plate off of the dishwasher and fixing, like, the innards. I said, I'm
punch it out.
Not done. Let me look at like a Blink 182 video instead of like something I can actually relate to instead of fixing a dishwasher myself.
Blink 182 video.
I'm old. I like Blink 182. Hello.
You watch the old videos with Janine running around?
I didn't watch
God,
that
I haven't seen one.
I watched
one
of the more recent hits, one of the more recent ditties.
It's just not part of my life to click on YouTube and watch a video.
Hopefully the electrician's going to charge you about $2,000 to come
That'd
fix it.
That'd be great.
You know
That'd
what?
Be great.
That'd
be awesome.
Probably will.
Then it's a complete power failure just to your house.
You know what?
That's what we're hoping.
Power works to everything else in my house except the stupid dishwasher.
Right.
So well, you could just wash dishes by hand for the rest of your life.
I'm sure that's going to happen. Are you kidding?
All right, we're going to talk Nats when we come back. Jesse Docherty, is that his name? We got to get to know Jesse. Jesse's taking over Chelsea Jane's beat there with the Nats. Mm-hmm. We'll find out all about the Bryce deal saga. What's the latest? Seems like he's moving on. Seems like the Nats are okay with it. I want to know who the anonymous Nats veteran, prominent vet is. That said, yeah, go ahead and write that the guy was terrible on the bases and made errors in the outfield all the time. I want to get the scoop on that. Talk to Jesse Docherty next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll be heading to Florida in basically 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right around there.
For spring training to cover the Nationals. Join us right now to give us a little insight into what's going on at camp. And who, of course, is not there is Jesse Docherty. Covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. Hey, Jesse.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
What's up, Jesse?
Not much. I'm standing outside and like I think it's like 78 and sunny right now, so I'm feeling pretty bad for myself. all good.
Pretty nice. Yeah, we're jealous. We'll be out there in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to it. Just for a few days, though.
Down there.
So you're taking over for Chelsea. Is this your first experience covering the Nats? Did you do some last year and we didn't quite realize it? Give us a little of your background.
Yeah, I snuck in late August. I was kind of shadowing the Chelsea and Jorge band, but since about December, I've been the replacement for Chelsea. I know huge shoes to fill there, and this is my first go around on the full season, first spring training. So head's trying to stay on straight, and I'm taking it all in.
Awesome. All right, great. Well, let's get up to speed then. I'm sure you're well aware of all of the Bryce drama. Is it safe to say that it's over, at least as far as the Nats go? Is things seem to be heating up with the Phillies in all likelihood, maybe some other teams? Are the Nats indeed pretty much over with it?
Yeah, I don't want to sound like Mike Rizzo here or Dave Martinez, but I'm reticent to say it's totally over just because if it turns around tomorrow and the Nationals make some late play, then I'll look stupid. But I would say that the trend and all signs would point to that. And yeah, the social media is bubbling with the Phillies right now. It seems like that's been the case for a couple months now. I mean, we were talking Phillies traction at the winter meetings in December, so I would say the Nats right now, it's a long shot. It's probably fair to almost close the door, but I think it should leave a little bit of crack there just because of the relationship Scott Boras has with the Mariners, Bryce has with D.C. So I wouldn't put it 100% done for the Nats, but it's getting pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And especially when you start to get articles like Boz's, where now they start to talk about the addition by subtraction, right? And now we trash Bryce on his way out, and certainly he had flaws, but I do find it kind of interesting. I'm sure you saw the article. I'm sure you saw the quote where the unnamed prominent Nats vet said, go ahead, print that. Well, listen, I know you're not going to out any sources, but if there's a prominent Nats vet, the only suspects could be Max, Zim, and who else?
Rendon.
Come on.
Michael A. Taylor?
Come on. Come on. Your most prominent Nats vets, that's either a Max Scherzer quote or that's a Ryan Zimmerman quote. What do we say?
You asking me?
Yeah. What do we say? Am I hot? What do you say there, Jesse?
That's a no comment for me. But I do think like that article was interesting in that I do think there is something to be said for when you have like a star or a quote unquote guy. Obviously, the culture and sort of the clubhouse culture has to be built around them, and there's some drawbacks to that in any situation, Bryce included. I do think the flip side and the counter argument, there's a reason why that person is the quote unquote guy, and you also lose a lot with that as well. So it's there may be concessions you need to make or ways the culture maybe is sort of cut into by the fact that you need to cater to one player or sort of follow their lead, but there's also a reason why you're following that guy, and if you lose him, then you lose all of that as well. So there are two sides to it, but I did think that was very interesting.
Right.
It's kind of weak that people, you know, there are anonymous sources. If you're going to say something like that, just put your name to it.
Well, I don't know that he necessarily said it. The way I read it is it was kind of suggested to him, is this fair to say it's addition by subtraction? And he said, yeah, sure, go ahead, you can print that.
Right.
That's the way I read it.
But I guarantee he said, don't put my name on it.
Well, yeah, probably.
How do you think Boz said, can I put your name to that quote?
Well, that's a good question, though, Jesse. Was that a direct quote, or was that just kind of suggested to him? And he said, yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of gray area in obviously reporting and kind of what we do in the clubhouse down here. There's a lot of conversations that happen without notebooks and recorders out, and I think generally those are what you would call either on the record or on background, and that would be if you have a relationship with a person and you've worked with them over a couple of years, you may know that if they say something to you offhand, you can use it without their name, or maybe they don't want you to do it at all. And that, those are things you sort of work out as just getting to know each other and having a working relationship. So in that case, it could have been just a conversation, and Boz had the relationship with someone he was talking to in order to put that and say that was okay. It could have been a situation where he asked, can I write that but not use your name, or can I write that and use your name, and the person said no. There's a lot of different avenues to get to a quote like that, but I'd say there is some gray area. But a guy like Boz has been doing this forever, I trust that it was all done in an honest way, and it's definitely
sure.
Something that I would say a fact. So
for sure.
Hey, let me ask you about just the team in general, assuming that Bryce is not going to be there. I have no idea if Bryce is going to be in Philly or not. Maybe he is, maybe not. He's not. But, you know, the Braves got better. The Mets got better. The Phillies certainly got better, even if they don't add Bryce. And the Marlins, who knows, they're going to be terrible. But do you think that, you know, with all of the additions these other teams in division made, do you think that on paper, and I know games aren't played on paper, do you think the Nats are still the best team in the division?
Yeah, I do, and I think that because I think they have the least question marks. I think that in New York you have a great pitching staff, but you have an older lineup that I don't see being durable and maybe effective across a full season. In Philadelphia, you have Aaron Nola at the top of the staff, but I think their pitching is a question mark when you go down farther in the rotation. And then in Atlanta, they didn't get better pitching either. And I don't think you need to add a major arm like a Corbin or a Keuchel in order to improve in your rotation this year, but they could have gone after some lower cost veterans and they kind of stayed put. And I think that while their lineup could be potent, they also have young guys that could digress a bit. And I think they're going to need more pitching than they probably did last season. That's not to say the Nats are perfect at all. They have their fair share of question marks, the biggest being the bullpen right now. But I think that overall, if you look at their lineup or the roster 1-25, they probably have the fewest question marks in the division. And so to try and project it at this time of the year, I think that's the best way for me to do it. Obviously, you start playing games in April and May, and we'll see what they really are and what Juan Soto is and what Victor Robles is and some of these guys that have a lot of potential but maybe haven't shown across multiple seasons what they can do. That's going to be a huge for the Nats. But right now, I think, yeah, if you just look at the roster and quote-unquote on paper, I'd say they're the favorite in the division.
I'm talking to Jesse Dougherty from the Washington Post, covers the Nationals, is down in spring training. I saw you tweeted about an hour ago that you came up with a lineup. And I want you to go through that lineup. But you also point out that the Nationals last year used 125 lineups. It's incredible throughout the season.
Yeah, they did, and Dave Martinez wants to have a more consistent lineup this season. But again, like last year, if that was even a plan in his head and wasn't spoken, that got blown up pretty fast by all the injuries they had and everything that went on. So the lineup I put together for this morning put Victor Robles ninth because Martinez said that he may do that. And for the sake of this, I'll say he's eighth and the pitcher's ninth. But leading off Adam Eaton, I just think that's an obvious choice. He's had some really good seasons when healthy. If you look at his 162 game averages, which again, health matters, he's definitely a really good guy atop the order. Two, Trey Turner, his speed is just, you know, it's different. It's a difference maker, and they want him to attempt 70, 80 steals this year, just get that number up. And he already led the NL. Third, Juan Soto, that's kind of the big spot. You're taking over for Bryce Harper, middle of the order. You're going to get pitched way differently than you did when you were in fifth or sixth hole last year. That would be a big responsibility. Fourth, Anthony Rendon, his normal spot. Fifth, Zimmerman, pretty status quo for him, even though last year they flip-flopped him and Soto, so he would be – they get a righty-lefty-righty at 4-5-6. And then sixth, I have Brian Dozier, Nationals' new starting second baseman. A lot of power, a lot of pop, and driving a lot of runs in that spot. He also has experience as a leadoff hitter in Minnesota, and that 6-7 spot, I think statistically it leads off a lot of innings in that range, so he could be a guy who's sort of a second leadoff hitter later in the lineup. Seven, the catcher, Kurt Suzuki or Yan Gomes, whoever it may be. And then eight, Victor Robles. And then potentially him hitting ninth as a quote-unquote second leadoff hitter to flip over the lineup and get to the top. And he's a guy you can really move around anywhere. He could have power. He could hit at the top in a day that Trey or Adam Eaton has an off day. And then just for his versatility and speed, if he's hitting well at eight, nine, seven, whatever it may be, it also gives him a chance to ease in. And you don't have to tax him with a really prominent spot early on because he's going to be learning a lot this year.
I got a lot of questions. First of all, let's go to the Ryan Zimmerman. Last year it was kind of funny the way they handled that whole deal with the weird spring training and the weird back of the lot stuff that he was doing. And they were acting like, you know, he didn't need spring training games, but turns out later he was hurt. What approach are they taking with Ryan so far this year? Is he going to sort of have a normal schedule? What do you know about Ryan?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's going to be normal in the sense that it will be the same as younger guys or guys on the team. I think it will be probably a new normal for him in the second half of his career in that he's going to still get around 50 at-bats. Last year, most of those came on minor league fields against minor league pitching, but he really just that's what he thinks he needs to ramp up for the season. So when the Nationals look back at last year's spring training, they don't see the at-bats as the problem. What they see as the problem is time spent in the field. So they want him to make a handful more appearances. You only can really go up from here from what he did last year, but they want him to be in the field more, be on his feet, be preparing for each pitch, playing defense, getting in that sort of rhythm. Because last year, that was the thing that by the time the season came around, he hadn't done a lot of in the spring because he didn't play in games. It wasn't anything at the plate. And the health thing's tough because, yeah, you could correlate him getting hurt to him not playing in spring training, but I think that's just kind of easy to do from a macro level from 5,000 feet. I think injuries are somewhat fluky, and like even if Zim isn't playing in 25 spring training games, he's still preparing his body as if he's going to play a 162 game season. So I wouldn't necessarily correlate the health, but I think just getting into the rhythm of playing every day is something that they want him to do more this year, and it's really more of a defensive thing than it is offensive.
All right, so obviously one of the big reasons why Nats fans have kind of adjusted and felt like it's going to be okay if Bryce moves on is because of development of Juan Soto last year and the promise of Victor Robles. Are we expecting too much, though, from these two guys? Did Soto perform at a level that's sort of unsustainable, or is this kind of what we expect from him? And then what is the bar for Robles?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that I wouldn't put expectations too high just because there's going to be, a natural regression for Soto. And then I could be totally wrong. And he could just stay on the path he set last year and keep putting up numbers that we really haven't seen for guys his age. I mean, his numbers at 19 were substantially better than Bryce in fewer games, but he even was putting up as many home runs, driving in as many runs as Bryce did in more opportunities. And as a measuring stick for Soto, I think the biggest thing with him is his plate discipline and his two-strike approach. Those things don't have to change year to year. If you have that and that's an innate ability and something he really works on too, that's going to help him because he's going to start getting curveball. He's not going to see a lot of fastballs this year. They're going to pitch around him early in counts and see if he'll bite, trying to hit a home run and pop up to second base, whatever it may be. So I think Juan is uniquely built to sustain success, he said, but I also think it's really hard to ask that. So I think when you look at replacing Bryce, it's not just Juan. It's Anthony Rendon being healthy across the full season and putting up really good numbers, all-star numbers. It's Ryan Zimmerman staying healthy and putting up numbers he's shown he's capable of even at an older age. So I don't think it falls necessarily just on Soto's shoulders, but that's going to be the storyline. And it's going to in the narrative that we somewhat create as reporters and as fans have in their head, I think it is sort of a one-to-one Soto to Harper. So he's going to have a lot on his shoulders, and I think he can carry that. And then Victor, I'd say expectations should be lower than Juan just because he only has 2 months of major league service time. Right now he's kind of an idea. He's a four and a half tool player that if his power came around, he could be a five tool player, but That's all projection right now. So he hasn't really shown anything at the major league level that you would think he's like a centerpiece outfielder, that he's going to be the guy this year. But projecting down the line 3-4 years from now, yeah, he could be that. But he's 21 years old, and these guys are 20 and 21. So they're great for the future, and they could be great for now. But I think putting too much expectations on them could be a recipe for just being disappointed later.
All right, Jesse, appreciate the insight. That's Jesse Dougherty, the beat reporter now for the Nationals for the Washington Post. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Yep. Thanks for having me.
And he joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Coming up next, you won't believe who Mike Tyson wanted to fight.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Time now to do the 5 and 10.
This is 5 and 10.
What's your top 5?
5 stories, 10 minutes.
Top 5. Top 4.
And number 3.
Number 2.
Number 1.
Interesting story coming from Mike Tyson. Kind of cool that he says he was given the opportunity to actually have a private tour around a zoo.
Yeah,
this is with his former wife, Robin Givens, in 1986. Apparently, during the tour of the zoo, they happened upon some gorillas. And there was one particular silverback gorilla that apparently was bullying all the other gorillas.
Okay.
And Tyson felt bad. And he actually offered the zookeeper $10,000 to fight the silverback gorilla in
its
cage.
Time, man.
Well, how big? How big?
When you say baby gorilla.
No, I don't know if it was a baby gorilla.
It's a big guy.
Oh, he would shred Tyson to pieces.
Gorilla. He would have taken Tyson's arm off, both of them,
and
in the span
head.
Of 5 seconds.
Of course.
Stop in the ring with
I
the
I thought
champ.
You said it was a baby gorilla.
No.
I'm sorry.
Tyson said when he got to the gorilla cage, there was one big silverback gorilla bullying all the other gorillas. They were so powerful, but their eyes were like an innocent infant. I offered the attendant $10,000 to open the cage and let me smash that silverback snot box.
I'm going to smash him. God. And then I'm going to let loose the mountain lion. I hope it rips drab t-shirts.
Did the attendant tell
out.
Mike Tyson that if I do that, he's going to kill you in 5 seconds?
There's nothing more to the story.
That's what would have happened if he opened that cage.
But what if he actually smashed him in the snot box? That's what Tyson said.
Zero chance.
Remember when Roger Goodell called Trent Williams the silverback? That was kind of weird. That was really weird.
That was weird.
Definitely weird.
I mean, he would have killed him.
Crushed him. It would have crushed the champ.
Like that.
Yeah.
We mentioned the NBA All-Star Weekend right about 6:25. Bradley Beal, of course, was the sole representative for the Washington Wizards at All-Star Weekend, and apparently he was in full recruitment mode.
I wonder how that
went. He spoke to reporters.
That's laughable.
I like it, though. I do think that's the way to do it.
This weekend and said, it was really crazy. A lot of guys were coming to talk to me and asking me how I feel. The recruiting process is really going all right. I'm trying. This is new for me, so I'm definitely getting some ears and seeing where guys' minds are at.
Now, hold on. Are you allowed to do that, or is that flat-out tampering?
He later on said, I can't name no names. I'm not right. going to name no names. I ain't going to name no names.
Right.
You're not going to have me out here for tampering. I ain't going to throw no names out.
Well, hold on. Can a guy, without naming names, behind the scenes, you're not even allowed to do that behind the scenes, let alone talk about it to the media.
I don't know, man.
You can't go out and have lunch.
I think it's right on the line.
Yeah, he might get slapped on the wrist for it. I don't think the NBA looks too kindly on.
They don't like it.
No.
I know that, but if he would have said, yeah, I was talking to Kyrie and I was, you know, I really wanted him to come here, he would have
been fine. We know what happens. But like when LeBron has dinner with Anthony Davis,
right,
and he's clearly pitching him, he's not supposed to. It's definitely against the rules.
But there's probably no way to know. There's no way to prove that he's clearly pitching them. They're just two guys
hanging
out.
Brad's flat out saying
he is.
Yeah,
Brad's donk. Because ain't going to name no names probably isn't enough. Because what if the NBA says, okay, you're going to name some names.
All right, hold on. Here's the next question.
There's video.
Who's interested? Which of the guys?
Nobody. They were just being nice
to him. By the way, was Brad the last pick? Did I see that?
Yes, he was the last pick. That's kind of embarrassing.
That's why I don't want this publicized.
I thought he was better than that.
I don't think he was the last pick, was he? I thought he was
pretty sure he was
the last
pick.
I think he might have been.
The last.
No, I think he was last.
I think he might have been Mr. Irrelevant.
I think he was last, and then after him was Dirk and D. Wade.
Oh, the honoraries.
The honoraries.
By the way, Dirk
takes.
I get kind of psyched. Dirk played just, I think, 4 or 5 minutes. 3 for 3 from deep.
There you go.
Silly.
What did D. Wade do? I didn't even look at the box score. What did D. Wade do?
I think he scored like 10 points.
Okay.
I mean, those guys can still play.
Hold on. Grabby.
But did you guys know there was a video that, like, on social media is a buzz. There's video behind the scenes of KD talking to Kyrie.
Yes.
People are saying that that's tampering, that Kyrie,
are they boys?
That Kyrie is either telling him two max slots in New York, let's go to the Knicks, or join me in Boston.
Well, you know what? Like Eric said, they all talk anyway.
Right. They all talk.
I mean, of course they're tampering. The NBA should just not worry about it. It's going
to
happen.
Well, I'm not sure the NBA has complained yet. But that's the definition of tampering. To go to the All-Star weekend and start pitching your boys.
Absolutely is tampering.
Now, I'm pro tampering in this instance because I think that's the only way the Wizards are going to get better is they have to find a way to bring in a free agent. Who could he possibly be? Who would possibly want to come listen?
He says that guys were coming up to him saying, so what are y'all doing in D.C.? How's D.C.? What's your situation? What you thinking about?
Who's eligible?
Any changes need to be made?
Drabby, help. Let's sniff this out. Already figured out.
Kyrie,
I already know it's Max Scherzer with the Nats quote. Now I want to know who this is.
Well, Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard's available.
Kawhi wants to come?
Anthony Davis?
No.
Would you not be psyched?
I don't think anybody wants to come.
Who wants to come to D.C.?
Most likely he was talking to Chris Middleton.
Is he a free agent?
That's the big
guess. That doesn't really put lead in my pencil. No.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
I don't know if these guys are all free agents.
But other possibilities?
This is on Bolts Forever. Kemba Walker, 20%.
All right, but that's... I love Kemba, but this is just...
Undersized point guard.
D'Angelo Russell, 45%.
Yeah. No thanks.
That's the guy that snitched on his...
Did he snitch on Nick Young on the cheating or something?
But you guys are grilling. Why wouldn't you be interested in Kemba Walker?
They're all fringe all-stars.
Just a scorer type.
Kemba Walker's a great player right now.
He's gotten better, by the way, I predicted
coming out of college.
Most likely Vucevic, however you say it.
That guy interests me.
Now, he is a free agent, I'm pretty sure.
Right, because Orlando's been scary good.
I don't know anything about Vucevic.
I know he's a good player.
He may be a stats black hole, but that dude intrigues me.
Middleton might be a free agent as well.
I think he is.
Yeah. He's got a player option.
Hold on, JP, for a second. Let's talk about Vucevic.
You got to get all five stories in, don't you know?
Yeah. I know he's racing the stories in.
Well, look, I can tell you
not do this in the last segment because then you don't let us talk.
He's like a 20-10 guy.
He's really
good. Why wouldn't I want that? Looks like he's 20-12 right now.
You would want it.
Yeah. 38 from threes?
Yeah,
he doesn't shoot a ton of threes.
Huh. Maybe he should shoot more. Like Otto, he should shoot more.
He's good, but again, those are the type of players you're going to get.
One a game.
By the way, this is a grasp for story.
Oh, no. 2.9 a game.
He talked to some guys.
Right, but obviously there are guys that are talking to him, so they must be at least feigning some interest.
They're interested.
If that's where the most money is, maybe they'll come.
Right.
But they're not going to win anything.
Well, there's not going to be the most money with John's contract.
And let's be honest, even though the Wizards aren't a great destination, it's a step up going from the Magic to the Wizards at this point. Present-day NBA.
That's a lateral.
It's a small,
Orlando's still got a better record, don't they?
No state taxes in Florida.
That part's true. Didn't think about that.
Take your kids to
Disney. I'm sure Vooch goes on rides at Disney. He'd get his head cut off on Space Mountain.
I did want to get to the story. First-year Maryland coach Mike Loxley been in the market to get a graduate transfer quarterback. He's landed former Virginia Tech signal caller Josh Jackson, the 6'1", 215
pounder. I haven't seen him a lot,
but
he's pretty good from what I've seen.
I like Loxley's bit on Twitter where it's just like a cartoon of a big wall going up around the guy.
He's locking him up.
He's locking him up. Well, he's locking him in.
He's definitely an upgrade of what they have.
Oh, yeah, Piggy and the other guy.
Jackson finished with 2,991 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, while adding 324 rushing yards and 6 scores, leading them to the Camping World Bowl.
Had some accuracy issues, though. A little bit inaccurate.
I remember watching him. I might have watched him in the game he got hurt.
When he broke his leg?
Yeah. It was good, man. Definitely be an upgrade for us.
Speaking of Virginia 100%. Tech, Jason mentioned this earlier. They lost to UVA yesterday, 64-58, and really shot well from the outside.
3 for 28 from threes.
Gross.
Well, what's killing them is their point guard, Justin Robinson, has been hurt for 5 or 6 games. They just got to get him back. But UVA was, they just locked them up.
And finally, a couple guys here are big golf nerds.
Yes.
How do you feel about the PGA Tour allowing players now to wear shorts in practice and pro-am rounds?
I don't like it.
I don't have a problem with
You're
it.
You're a traditionalist.
I'm a traditionalist.
You're a purist.
I like to see him wearing pants.
I have a problem with 6-hour rounds, which was on the Sunday finale with J.B. Holmes.
Yeah, but I kind of like that, though. As a viewer, I like that. I don't like it as a player, but as a viewer, I like it.
J.B. does like to take his time.
Brother should pull up the pants.
He wasn't put on the clock once, though, I don't believe, or warned.
Well, he's going to be put on the clock at Augusta. They'll make an example of him.
I could not pick J.B. Holmes out of the lineup.
Nor should you. You shouldn't be able to, J.P. I said J.B. Holmes.
Oh, I thought you said J.P.
Do you know what state he's from?
No.
Definitely Kentucky, right? Oh, definitely went to Kentucky.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant, Danny, they're coming up next, right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.